Hello everybody, it's me, Mr. Tall23, back with another video. In this video, I want to talk about a verse which might confuse some people. I know it's confused me in the past, but I want to explain what this verse means and what a particular word means within that verse, and how it's used differently than what we typically think in the Bible several times. And that word is the word gods, plural, lowercase, right? Without a capital G, but a lowercase g. Because very often in the Bible, of course, we know when it's talking about gods, it's talking about the false deities of the heathen. It's talking about the idols they worship. It's talking about, what we would think of as gods in the modern day. But there are several times in the Bible where it uses the word gods, but it doesn't mean what we typically think of when we hear the word gods, right? It says in John chapter 10, verse 34 to 35, this is the potentially confusing verse. It says, Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken," and so on. So Jesus says, he quotes from, this is Psalm 82, verse 6. He quotes from Psalm 82, and he says, does not, the law say, ye are gods? And then he says that it's talking about those to whom the scripture came. Now, some people will twist this verse, like, for example, Mormons will try to twist this verse to teach that we can one day become gods like unto the Lord, right? That we can become our own gods in the sense of being divine or divinity, right? But when you actually go back and look at Psalm 82, it's not talking about what we would typically think of as God. It's not talking about deities. It's not talking about idols. It's not talking about an entity which should be worshipped, okay? And I'll get to that in a second. Psalm 82, but first I want to talk about a few other verses, or quote a few other verses, which also use the word gods in a different way than what we would typically think of. Another example would be Exodus 22, verse 28, where it says, "Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people." Again, this is another verse which might be confusing to some people, because you'd think, well, what difference does it make if we curse or say bad about, the false gods of the heathen? But that's not what it's talking about. And I'll explain what it means in a second. But there's also Exodus 7, verse 1, where it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." So the Lord himself says that to Moses, "I have made thee a god to Pharaoh," right? So now let's go to Psalm 82. It's only 7 or 8 verses. It says, "God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judgeth among the gods." Now, this is an example of a poetic device that's used often in the Bible, which some people might call parallelism, which would be, it says something one way, and then it says basically the same thing or something similar, but in a different way. Okay, and you'll see that all throughout the book of Psalms, and all throughout other poetic books in the Bible, that you'll see like repeated statements, right? But they're phrased a little bit differently. It'll say one thing and then it'll say another thing, either in the same verse or in the next verse, but it'll be phrased differently. And this is an example of that, where it says, "God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judgeth among the gods." It's using the word mighty and gods interchangeably in this verse, right? I'm going to show that more as we read through the rest of this psalm. "How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand, they walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course," right? So far what we see about this congregation of the mighty, who the Bible calls gods, so far it tells us what these people are. It says that they're judges, okay? They're people that are judging, but it says that unfortunately, they are judging unjustly, right? Now it says in verse 6, "I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations." So verse 6 is what Jesus quoted from in John chapter 10. And notice how the statement, "ye are gods," is coupled with the other statement, "and all of you are children of the Most High," right? So these people who God is speaking to, who Jesus said the word of God came to them, and now it says that they're children of the Most High, these are people who are saved, right? And we see that their job is to be judges, throughout the rest of the context of this, that it's a congregation of the mighty. It's a congregation of those who are judges. They are saved, they're children of the Most High, but they're judging unjustly. And therefore, it says in verse 7, "Ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes." Okay, so that shows that these are not immortals, these are mortals, not like God. Okay, which shows that the Mormons are wrong in this and thinking that, you know, we can become gods one day or something foolish like that. It's not talking about gods as we would think of as deities. It's not saying we're going to, you know, become divine or something like that. That's not what it's saying. Rather, this is talking about people who are judges who have godlike authority in the sense that they are given the authority to judge. Okay, and that's what I believe it means in these contexts when it says the word gods. It's not talking about a divine, eternal, all-powerful, somebody who deserves worship like the Lord. That's not what it means. It's not talking about the idols of the heathen. It's not saying there's multiple gods. Of course, we know from other scriptures there is only one God. That's the Lord, in the sense of there's only one entity which is all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal, from everlasting to everlasting, created the whole world, you know, is deserves worship. Okay, that's the only God there is, the Lord, Jehovah, of the Bible, right? So in these other examples, in Exodus 22 and then Exodus 7, it's just talking about having authority as being a judge, right? So when it says, "Thou shalt not revile the gods nor curse the ruler of thy people," that's another example, I believe, of parallelism, where it's basically saying, you know, not to revile the ruler of the people, not to curse the judges, basically. When it says gods, I believe that's talking about people who are set in authority to be rulers of the children of Israel, people who are set in authority to judge, just like it speaks of Moses, that he was made a god to Pharaoh. That doesn't mean that, well, all of a sudden Moses just had to be worshipped by Pharaoh. That's not what it's talking about, okay? But people misunderstand what this word God means. But when we look at Psalm 82, and we look at the context of the verse that Jesus quoted from in John chapter 10, it becomes clear that these are mortal beings, that they are children of the Most High, that they are they have authority, but they're definitely lesser in authority. They're not gods in, you know, the sense that the modern world or the pagans or polytheists would think of as gods. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Okay, so these are not deities. These are human men who are judges, who have authority, who have might. All right, so thank you everybody for watching. God bless you and goodbye.